All right, back on the Iron Truth, Chang and Anna with you guys. Jeremiah writes in, I'm going to say this again, Anna's right. This is when his base really digs in. So that's in reference to a story I did in the first hour where the 67% of Republicans think that Trump handled Charlottesville just right. So that does go to your point, Anna, that nope, still haven't lost them. Neetu S writes in, add one more bankruptcy to Trump's list since he has morally bankrupted the Republicans of their conscience and morality. Jimmy Brandon writes in, Cenk, I live in Seattle and our best falafel shop is right behind that statue. So that's funny. And our own Steve O wrote in, Clinton's Pied Piper strategy elevated Trump. DNC should apologize for elevating Trump and then losing to him. We don't talk about that enough. Steve's right. They do talk about it more on Aggressive Progressive. We've mentioned it in the past, but it does bear repeating. In the DNC email leaks, we saw that one of the things that the DNC thought in their genius machinations, which they think are so practical and pragmatic, was they're like, let's elevate some of the clowns in the Republican Party, and they specifically listed Donald Trump. They said, let's help him so that he can hurt the Republican Party, and then we'll easily beat them. Oops. That's the brilliant guys of the Democratic Party. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. The lawyer for a woman who was unfortunately violated with a cavity search by police in Texas has actually released video of that cavity search following a grand jury's decision to drop charges against the cops who performed that search. Now, to give you some background on the story, it occurred in Harris County, Texas back in June of 2015. And the woman who underwent a cavity search apparently ran a stop sign, and so cops pulled her over and alleged that they smelled marijuana. Now, after they failed to find any marijuana in her car, they decided to literally do a cavity search. And so they called a female officer to the scene, which took about an hour and a half based on the victim's account. And she performed a cavity search for a total of 11 minutes. Now, back in 2015, the woman did speak to CNN about what she experienced. I want to show you that video first, and then I'll show you the dash cam video that we have. Take a look.
I couldn't move. My hands are already handcuffed behind me. You know, so she pulls my pants down, and then she tells me to bend over. So, you know, I kind of hesitated because I'm like, bend over, you know. And I bent over, and she proceeded to stick her fingers in me. And I popped up immediately and I told her, no, what are you doing? You can't do that to me.
Okay, Anna, before we get to the dash cam video, guys, think about this in a couple of different ways. One, we have now prohibition on marijuana. It's insane. Like we had a prohibition on alcohol, which was insane. So imagine if that prohibition still existed. And they're like, we suspect that you have something very, very dangerous, a can of beer on you that you will later drink. So we're going to do a cavity search. And they stick their fingers inside. That's, I can't describe to you how insane that is.
And this isn't something that happened during the Nixon administration. This is something that happened in 2015 when a number of states had already legalized marijuana for medicinal use. Some states had already legalized it for recreational use. I mean, it's absurd that cops would perform a search so invasive in order to find marijuana, but they did it, they did it. Now, again, the dash cam footage was not released until recently when the grand jury decided to drop all charges against the cops who went through with performing this search. So I wanna show you the dash cam video. You don't see anything graphic, but I do want you to focus on the bottom right-hand side so you can kind of see what's going on. Gives you a sense of how they did it. And also, please keep in mind that we're only showing you a small part of it. The full video is much longer, and that's where the 11-minute cavity search comes from. Anyway, take a look.
Four, 594, 4 vehicle.
Sharniza Corley is the name of the victim in this video, and it breaks my heart to know that there was no justice, to know that she had to go through something like that with a male officer shining a light on her, you know, half-dressed body as a female officer is violating her, you know, doing a cavity search over marijuana. By the way, another amazing fact to this story is they charged her with misdemeanor possession of marijuana. The charges were later dropped because they didn't find marijuana on her.
If it looked like a rape, where they throw her down and one guy shines a light while the other person does this for 11 minutes. So it's a female officer. I don't think that makes it any better at all. And I don't care if they'd found a marijuana. I don't care if they found a bushel of marijuana. Even if she was a drug dealer, what's the part where you stick your fingers? Look, and imagine it's a guy. Okay, oh, we suspect that you might have a joint on you. So we're going to have a male officer hold you down for 11 minutes while we probe your anal cavity. For 11 minutes. How long can you probe a cavity? It's disgusting in every way imaginable.
And not only, I mean, the worst part about it is that a human being had to go through something like that. But another part of it is, really, this is what our resources go to? This is what taxpayer money funds? Is this really what's keeping people safe?
And it's our government, man. I don't want my representatives. I don't want my government. I don't want my cops with my taxpayer money doing this to other civilians. And if they do it to them, they could do it to us. And there, but for the grace of God, go all of you. Now, yes, it happens to African Americans disproportionately. So maybe white people think, it's not going to happen to me, man. And sometimes they're right, but now increasingly they're wrong. It's happening to white people, it's happening to everybody, because power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And what have we told the cops? You're always going to get away with it. And they did again here. So if you think they're not going to do it to you, I think you are sorely mistaken.
They got away with it. And also, as we already pointed out, after still not finding anything, after raping this woman, you still file a report saying you found something. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't even matter. So they took their cues from society thinking, hey, no matter what happens, this person's powerless and I can do whatever I want. When I say what happened, they're gonna believe me. It's human nature once someone gives you the absolute power to do that to other people and you think, oh, they're gonna back me up no matter what, you do it. And the other guy stands there. And when you get called in as this one cop to do it, oh, it was just a couple of bad apples. Hey, when are these good apples gonna pop up? And say, hey, bad apples, I'm not going to be one of you. Yeah. When is they going to say, hey, we called you out, a female cop, to rape this woman. And she comes in and says, no.
Yeah.
When does that happen?
So one way that it could happen is if you hold them accountable, but they refuse to. And if you're a conservative and you've been saying your whole life, oh, big government's terrible, this is big government. This is government so out of control that they're inside our bodies to find a recreational drug that a huge percentage of the country uses, and now a huge percent of the country has made legal. And in this case, they didn't even find it, and they lied about it. If you're not worried about this kind of jackbooted thugs, that's what the right wing used to always talk about, jackbooted thugs. What is this? So the whole country should be united on this issue. We can't let our own government treat us this way. We've got to reform how we train the police. And there's got to be consequences when they do something wrong.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, more news, including Facebook shutting down a forum that leaned conservative. Why did they do it? I'll give you the details.
All right, back on the Young Turks, as I just spilled water all over the studio. Members of the day are Tim Harrison and Haley Wong. In the postgame today, I'm going to agree with a racial observation that Anna had on a different postgame from earlier in this week.
Oh, I wanted
about the people that you're frightened of.
Oh, yeah.
I got a personal story about that happened to me today.
Yeah. So. By the way, real quick, a lot of our members actually wrote in and told me, because I didn't feel good about it. And they said, it's okay, just relax. We know why you feel that way. So thank you for understanding.
Yeah, I think the post games this week have been amazing, including our look at John's trip last night.
That was my favorite post.
Yeah, that was just great. So come join us there at tytnetwork.com/join. Okay. By the way, the poll that we asked you, should they have pulled down the Confederate monument in North Carolina? Yes has taken a lead, 53 to 47, but it's still close. So the voting's still open at tytnetwork.com/monument. Okay, Anna, you're up.
All right. Facebook has decided to do away with an anonymous forum that its employees were using after some of the conversations and debates that took place in that anonymous forum became racial, sexist, or offensive. Now, it was built by Facebook employees as a side project a couple of years ago. FB, or Facebook Anon, became a forum for Facebook employees to air grievances or share information that could get them in trouble. So, again, the emphasis here is that it was Facebook employees using this forum anonymously in order to talk about some of the more controversial things that were going on. Now, Facebook Anon attracted comments that many employees found offensive. For example, some posts last year said Facebook lowered the bar to attract female engineers to boost its diversity numbers, and that provoked angry responses from others in the chat room. Now, Facebook had responded to that and said that the notion that they lowered standards for women was absolutely ridiculous. And apparently, things just got so hostile there that it was creating an uncomfortable work environment, and they decided to do away with it. And then, you know, one of the executives at Facebook made a really good point about how anyone who uses the social networking site is forced to use their real identity. And so why is it that in this case, the employees didn't have to abide by the same rules? Let me give you Lori Goller's full comment. She says, a cornerstone of our culture is being open. The Facebook Anon internal Facebook group violated our terms of service, which require people to use Facebook, including our employees, to use an authentic identity on our platform.
Well, I mean, this one's a little complicated because I know why they didn't use their real identity, because look at the guy at Google who did use his real identity, he got fired. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't do it. So let's not be disingenuous about why they hide their identity. On the other hand, it is a violation of their term of service, and that is one thing that has kept Facebook a little bit more sane than other outlets like Twitter, where because you are actually connected to who you are. So that brings down the level of trolling, not completely, but significantly. Whereas when you're anonymous, apparently, you know, Lord of the Flies sets in and you start smashing conches over people's heads. Sometimes now, literally, physically in the real world, but certainly in terms of comments online. And then secondarily, I think there should be a forum to have a rational conversation. I don't know if that's what was happening there, about gender differences and disparities in pay and how to resolve that, and I don't know that they were looking to resolve that, but I think that a conversation could be helpful there if directed in the right way. On the other hand, if it's not directed in the right way and you just have a bunch of people screaming about how women are inferior, I can see how that could create a hostile work environment.
Right.
So these are not easy issues.
So a few observations that I made while researching the story. What I found interesting was that this was a forum that was developed by Facebook employees several years ago, and they never had a problem with it, or at least it wasn't reported that anyone had a problem with it until the 2016 general election, when Trump became a topic of discussion, and that was when people started to feel more comfortable coming out and talking about, you know, gender in the workplace and their feelings toward that, and lowering the standards to accommodate women, and so. It's amazing how much of an impact that election really had, not just in our national discourse, but even discourse among employees at various companies. The second thing is, look, you can do away with these forums all you want. You can fire people as much as you want, but this is an issue that persists, and it's something that I think needs an open dialogue. So I agree with you, Cenk, where you say, hey, there needs to be a discussion about this. I'm not entirely sure, you know, what the right way to go about it is. And look, people do like to hide behind anonymity. And in this case, I guess for good reasons, because they will get fired if they're creating a hostile work environment. But just because you did away with this chat or this forum doesn't mean that your employees don't still feel these things.
Yeah, Anna, that's why I think the second issue here and why it's so difficult is that some people support Trump and they got every right to. It's America. On the other hand, Trump is clearly racist and a bigot and sexist and a sexual harasser and a person who's committed or admitted to committing sexual assault. So those facts make you uncomfortable, but they are facts nonetheless. And so you say it's my opinion. It's not my opinion. He says it every day. He says he compares people who are against fascists to the people who are fascists. And I can go on and give you dozens of examples. So what do you do when some percentage of the country and some percentage of your employees like a guy who's racist? And in this case, sexist. That's a really hard question. You get to believe those things in America. I don't know that you can fire a third of the country. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, those are unsettling, especially in a work environment where we have to respect each other and work as a team. There are no easy answers here. And all the companies are trying to do their best to figure out the right answers. So easy to criticize their actions, but also easy to criticize people on the other side. Finding a constructive solution is much harder. Okay, we're out of time here for the Sirius Satellite Radio guys. TYTnetwork.com continues. We have more stories for you when we return. All right, we're back. You know the last break's super small, short. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. While everyone is hyper-focused with good reason on white supremacy in the country, there are some of Trump's agenda items that are being achieved. And among those agenda items is the issue of deregulation. He's deregulating everything, or at least postponing regulations on issues that are incredibly important. And so I want to outline some of those regulatory policies for you and the impact that it could have on American safety and health. Now, Trump has swiftly moved to eliminate hundreds of regulations, often exerting his presidential powers to unwind or delay rules that watchdog groups argue weaken oversight of behemoth Wall Street banks, strip safety measures for workers, and cause long-term harm to the environment. So Trump has frozen all future regulations until his cabinet appointees and heads of agencies have been confirmed by the Senate. Now keep in mind that there are still people that he needs to appoint. I don't know when he's going to get around to that, but that's an issue. He's also proposed killing two regulations for every new one, which shows you how incredibly simple-minded and unnuanced he really is. Now, he has exercised his authority to repeal 14 Obama-era rules and wipe out or delay 860 prospective rules federal agencies plan to work on this year. So among those rules or those regulations includes coal mining companies who now won't be obligated to protect the nation's streams from debris when extracting coal from mountaintops.
Great. By the way, mountaintop removal kills jobs. So it takes more jobs to do mining. But they're like, let's just A, destroy what places like West Virginia, Kentucky look like. So you ruin the whole landscape and people's heritage, by the way. You want to talk about heritage, those mountains are their heritage. And that way we don't have to hire as many people in West Virginia, Kentucky, and all those places. And now that Trump's in charge, for a little extra gift for you guys, we'll just pour the toxic stuff into your stream so that your kids can be exposed to it. Did we forget to tell you that corporations win though? They make more money. So I'm told that this is a winning strategy in those areas and that you have to have corporate Democrats who agree with this strategy to run against Republicans.
Yeah.
My guess is that is not correct.
So it's not just environmental issues that he's having a negative impact on. It's also the safety of our kids. So for instance, he's halted a bid to address risks of bumpers on baby cribs that have been known to lead to infant deaths. Okay, great.
Jesus, man. Just when you think he can't figure out a way to get lower, he's like, I mean, infant deaths, is that a big deal?
Look, here's the thing. I don't even think he even knows about that regulation.
No,
right?
No.
I mean, a lot of these regulations were implemented during the Obama era, some of which haven't even gone into effect yet, right? And so, look, there's the issue of Donald Trump just being against anything Obama has ever done. And so, I don't think he even knows about that proposed regulation.
Are you kidding me? He barely knows what his middle name is. He's no, when it comes to his name, he knows it, to be fair to him, right? But no, he doesn't know anything. I mean, he didn't know North Korea was complicated. He didn't know healthcare was complicated. So I'd be shocked if he knew that particular regulation, if that's being fair to him. But he's president, so he should know what he's doing. So overall, he sent his minions to say, favor big business no matter what. I don't care. Don't even tell me. I don't. Oh, we're polluting the streams. Who cares? More kids are gonna die. Who cares? We're taking away safety measures from workers. More workers will die.
Right.
Even though I ran a campaign pretending to be on the side of the workers. Who cares? Did I or did I not get the donor money from those big businesses? I did. Then do whatever they ask you. Oh, I ran against Wall Street. Now Wall Street wants to deregulate so they can take crazy risks and crash the economy again. Who cares? Did they give me a political donation or didn't they? They did, then give them everything they want.
Now, he also imposed an 18-month delay on the so-called fiduciary rule that would require brokers who manage retirement accounts to act in their consumers' best interest rather than their own. John Oliver actually did a really great segment on that, I believe a year, maybe a year and a half ago. And yeah, I mean, a lot of times these people who manage your retirement account will invest in things because it benefits them and their bottom line, doesn't actually genuinely benefit you.
So I'll give you a quick example because I also did a pretty good segment on it before John Oliver. Anyway.
So, aw, he don't like that. You got no jealous.
So one of the things they do is they keep trading because every time they do a trade, they get a commission off of it. So that hurts you, that helps them. That's a way of redistributing the wealth from your retirement account into their pockets. So it's a very sensible rule to say, I mean, it's just not asking for much to say that if you're going to represent someone, you should represent their best interests. And the Republicans say, no, you shouldn't. There should be a rule that allows you to rob your own clients. And now Trump's in office, so they're like, oh yeah, rob away. He ran against the globalists and the global financial elites. But when he actually gets into office, he's like, oh, hardworking Americans and their retirement accounts, trade it over and over again, do it anything for the bankers' benefits and nothing for your benefits.
So this particular issue enrages me. I mean, all of these, you know, deregulation efforts enrage me. But this one specifically enrages me because of the fact that you have the Republicans who are constantly talking about privatizing Social Security or doing away with Social Security. And then they're like, yeah, it should just be up to, you know, a person to be responsible enough to save for retirement. But there's so many factors when it comes to saving for your retirement that we have no control over, right? So you can go ahead and contribute to an IRA or a 401k or whatever. These brokers who are managing it aren't looking out for your best interest. They're looking out for their bottom line, right? At least with Social Security, you don't have to worry about that.
And they're rubbing your face in it. They're saying, we're opposed to a rule where we would work in your best interest. Now, what do you think they're going to do under the new regime? You think that they're going to voluntarily work in your best interest, or they're going to take all the money they could possibly take? Okay, so when Trump told you he was on the American worker side, it was a giant joke, and he's laughing at you behind his back. Now, to be fair though, yes, Anna, you are enraged, but John Oliver was a little bit better at being enraged about that than you were.
He's actually more funny and humorous when he's upset. So
I know, anyway. I'm kidding. Much love to Oliver.
By the way, John, like, you should come here and do a show with us.
We've never asked him. Oh, you know what, John, we'll ask you.
I'll like lose it. Okay, final thing that I do want to mention because it just shows you how little they care about you or your safety. He's also proposed postponed enforcement of a rule that would minimize 2.3 million American workers' exposure to something known as silica dust, a known contributor to lung cancer. You know, he's just looking out for all those rural white Americans that have been screwed over. That's what he's doing. He's looking out for you.
Yeah, you might get lung cancer. On the other hand, they're gonna make an extra couple of bucks and they will share a small percentage of that with their Republican Party officials. So, I mean,
look,
and you still claim they're not looking out for you?
I get that. What's really going on isn't as sexy or interesting as Trump making an ass out of himself on Twitter every morning, right? But you guys got to pay attention. Like, and I'm saying that mostly to myself because, look, we get caught up in all the BS, but what's happening behind the scenes is more relevant. What he's actually achieving behind the scenes while he distracts us with his jackass behavior is incredibly dangerous and has a huge impact on so many Americans' lives. So
But it's like, it's a Hobson's choice. Are we supposed to be more upset that he might be giving us lung cancer, or more upset that he's now sympathizing with Nazis?
I know. Look, I'm not saying that people shouldn't pay attention to that, right? But yeah. But Nazi tweets aside, like every social media interaction he has or post he has is like, oh my god! It's like the media loves it, right?
Oh, they do. Of course they do.
So yeah. Whatever.
Okay, what's next?
All right. Genetic testing is a huge business now where people can spend maybe a couple hundred dollars and get a kit from 23andMe and learn all sorts of things about their genetic makeup and their history. However, there are some people who are concerned about genetic testing. Insurers are concerned and consumers are concerned as well. So let's take a look. Insurers actually fear that without equal access to such information, information that people get from these genetic tests, they will lose out to savvy customers. Customer groups, on the other hand, fear that if underwriters did have access to such information, people with so-called bad genes might find themselves unfairly excluded from cover. So insurance companies, whether it's health insurance or life insurance, worry that, wait, but they have information that we don't have. So let's say someone does the genetic testing and finds out that, you know, they have a certain genetic makeup that predicts that they're gonna have like a terminal illness. Mm-hmm. Well then, what if we don't know that information and then they go ahead and get life insurance policies?
Then we won't be able to screw them over.
Right, so that's what they're worried about.
I'm so upset about this.
That's what they're worried about. Now, consumers, I think, have an incredibly legitimate concern. And I think that their concern will eventually play out. What happens when this genetic testing becomes available, or the information from it becomes available to these insurers? Will they use it against them? And the answer is yes. Yes, they will.
Yeah, I have a radical idea. Why don't we do Medicare for all so that we insurance companies can't screw us over? Because it's our lives on the line. Medicare, it polls at 77%. It is very popular for a number of reasons. It covers everything. And if you want even more coverage, because you want more tests, for example,
yeah,
you can get Medicare Advantage, which is private insurance on top of it. It is a lower cost, and it covers every single American who's part of Medicare. So if we did that, we wouldn't have to be worried about, what if the private corporations find out that we have an illness, and then they're gonna let us die because they wanna make an extra buck?
Well,
look, if a private corporation wants to make an extra buck from selling sexier sneakers, have at it, Hoss. But this is not how we should run our insurance. Now we're like so panicked, we don't want to find out anything about ourselves, which might actually save our lives if we found out that we have an illness.
Yes.
Maybe we could do preventative measures on it.
That's
but we're
exactly
like, what if
right.
would the private corporations find out? And in order to make more profit, they'll let us die.
No, but
how insane are we that we live in this system?
But you don't get it, Cenk. Republicans tell me that, you know, people who have access to universal health care, like Canadians and stuff, like they hate it, right? That's what the Republicans tell me. Canadians don't say that, but Republicans do.
Yeah, Northern Europeans who have great healthcare systems don't say that.
Right.
So, do you know the lines that they wait on? Dude, I tried to make an appointment at a doctor the other day. It took me 2 months to get an appointment. You know the lines we wait on?
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then I just wanted to respond to your comment about how people are afraid to take these tests because they are worried that eventually insurers will have access to that information. I totally agree with you because I want to do this test. Like, yeah, sure, I guess I want to find out about my genetic makeup, even though I'm kind of scared, right? But I'm super interested to find out what my ancestry is.
Me too, me too. So let me tell you why in specific for me. So I'm 7/8 Turkish. I think that's fairly clear, but you know, if you're Turkish, nothing's clear. Because Turks are originally from Central Asia, but yet we look Anatolian. So most Turks, if they did this, would probably find out they're really Greek. And I would be greatly amused by that. Mm-hmm. Okay, or they'll find out they're Asian. They don't even know that. Most of them are like, if you told Turks you're Asian, they'd be like, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. So I want all of Turkey to take this test, because I think the results would be enlightening and somewhat hilarious. At least the reactions would be. But I'm also 1/8 something else. And our family doesn't even know. It's possible that it's Kurdish. Mm-hmm. It's also possible that it's actually a lineage that traces back to the Crusaders. Wow. That's super interesting. I want to know. But I'm afraid to take the test because then somebody has my genetic information and I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Right, exactly.
That's the insane country we live in.
Yep.
Can I throw cold water on this?
Yeah.
I mean, why not? He said it's a big booming business now, the genetic testing and everything. We should have, maybe you guys should have got all this done. Maybe I should have gotten it done before it became a big business, because now I don't trust it anymore. I mean, they just send your stuff off at some lab and say, oh yeah, you're this, this and that. Oh, you're gonna die of cancer at 57. Oh, your great, great, great grandmother had this and that, and you're probably gonna get it too. And now we gotta believe it. And I didn't go in and have this lab test done where I can know who's doing it, who's done it, verify who's sending it back to me. I just don't trust it. You might be surprised to hear that. I don't trust it anymore.
Most paranoid man in America doesn't trust this test. I didn't see that coming.
So I was actually pretty skeptical about the accuracy of these genetic tests as well. And look, I don't know if this is evidence that they are accurate, but even though I haven't done a genetic test on myself, we did a genetic test on my dog. Because we adopted him and we wanted to know what mix of breeds he was. And they told us, oh, he's half Maltese. And when we did the genetic test, if we found out that he's not half Maltese at all. And the reason why I know it's accurate is because all you do is like swab his mouth and then you send it in. When they send you the results, they describe everything about the dog, every single last detail about his physical appearance. And so I was amazed by that. By the way, we found out that he's actually mostly mini poodle with a mix of Pomeranian, Chihuahua, and Cocker Spaniel.
That sounds really interesting. Okay, so I like that you're like, oh, okay, I'm not gonna do it for myself, but my dog's really important, we're doing it for that. And JR, you know what they're doing, right? They're taking a picture of the dog and then they're like, okay.
No, they don't take a picture of the dog. Get out of here.
What's your social media? Oh, let's check it out real fast. Oh yeah, this dog. Yeah, yeah. Long legs. Those long legs. Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh my God. What if they did do that? What if they did find my social media?
Of course. Okay, anyway.
No, they didn't do that.
All right, look, I don't know. I really, really want to do it. I really want to find out. I think I might just pull the trigger at some point. But I'm with you that there's a part of me, JR, that thinks like, we're really sure they're not making it up.
I mean,
because
which
it's
ones?
Just a private company. Yeah. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good service they provide. I like it, right?
But there's multiple ones, am I right? It's not one.
There are multiple ones.
But like, you don't really know. And if they're like, dude, are we going to make money off this or not? Yeah, partly Italian. Sure. Little Arab, whatever.
You know what triggered it? And I'm sorry to stretch this out further. Earlier than we were talking about it and planning this, Irina, our EP, said, I remember. Several years ago, this was $20-$30 to do. Now it's $200. I was like, well, why is that? Because everybody's going to do it. And whenever you have this influx of people doing stuff just for the trend of doing it, the companies will go, well, why do we care about how well we do it? Quality always drops once they get enough people to just do it and accept whatever they give back to
But them. In terms of testing genes, the quality might actually improve.
Why?
Based on more samples and medical advances.
Think about how much we pay for medical assistance already. Quality isn't always the best.
I'm not an expert on this. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm not a scientist.
believe me, they know.
They know. But my understanding is that the more samples they have, the better they can figure out where other people are coming from. So that's another reason to wait a little bit, mm-hmm. Let them get more samples, and then it'll be more accurate. Anyways, last thing on this. This is like an old fortune teller trick. I remember we were on the Jersey boardwalk. Steve goes in to get his fortune read. He's got a Cornell hat on because he's about to go to Cornell. He's got a sweatshirt on and he's got like shorts on and sneakers and stuff. And then she says things like, you're kind of sporty and athletic, but you're not too good at sports. He's a short Asian dude. Yeah, okay. She figured it out, right? Uh-huh. And she's like, but you study really hard. No, he was a total lazy, you know.
Who is this, a psychic?
Yeah, it's a psychic, okay. A fortune teller, uh-huh. Right? All they do is they look at you and they go, I don't know, going to Cornell, must work hard, right? We got the wrong guy. Anyway, so.
They don't do that with the genetic testing though, like, come on.
They did it for your dog, trust me.
They didn't do it for my dog.
I'm just kidding, we got another story?
Yes, I wanna skip ahead and end on a fun note. A fun note, a sweet note, I love this guy. All right, Peter Dinklage is one of the main characters on Game of Thrones. He's awesome on Game of Thrones. He plays the role of Tyrion. And he's even more awesome in real life. Now, he is working alongside animal rights activists because of the issue of people going out and purchasing husky dogs because they want a dog that looks like the direwolves of Game of Thrones.
Okay? People are so goofy.
People are goofy. Now, huskies are beautiful dogs, so there's always some demand for them anyway. But because of Game of Thrones, that demand certainly increased. Now, unfortunately, people were buying these dogs and then not realizing just how much of a responsibility it is. So now animal shelters are noticing an increase in huskies that were abandoned. So Peter Dinklage wanted to say something about this. He said, not only does this hurt all the deserving homeless dogs waiting for a chance at a good home in shelters, but shelters are also reporting that many of these huskies are being abandoned, as often happens when dogs are bought on impulse without understanding their needs. He also says, if you're going to bring a dog into your family, make sure that you're prepared for such a tremendous responsibility and remember to always, always adopt from a shelter. I love Peter Dinklage.
Okay, so so do I. In fact, in the last Game of Thrones review we did on What the Flick, we talked a lot about Peter Dinklage and I think what a difference he's made to little people and how they're perceived in just that role alone, and let alone all the other great work that he's done. And you know, his full name is Tyrion Lannister. Or is he really a Lannister? Watch the last review we did on youtube.com/whattheflickshow. In fact, we'll put the link down below because he might actually be a Targaryen. Okay, it's not a spoiler, just watch it and you'll see what we're talking about. Anyway, I think this whole story is wrong. The reason a husky demand is going up is because of Wolfpack. Everybody's going to wolf-pack.com.
Everyone. And it's the talk of the town.
Okay, yeah. And that's really what's happening. But if I'm going to make one serious point about this, is should you adopt from a shelter? Of course.
Dogs are so sweet. I mean, look, some of them have been abused and they have some behavioral problems, and so it might be a little more difficult to train them and all that. So I get that, right? But there's so many sweet dogs out there that need a home. Like the idea of I don't want anyone who has purchased a dog to think I'm like sitting here judging you and wagging my hand at you or finger at you. But just if you're thinking about owning a pet or a dog, just go to a shelter. Just check a shelter out first. And then make a decision.
I'm going to go way further than you. The people who care about the lineage of the dog, aren't they kind of dog racist?
That's hilarious.
Right? Like, why do you care if it's a Maltese this or a Falcon that or whatever the hell it is? And like, no, it's got to be this or that. No, just go to, find a nice dog, love it. Okay, those dogs are going to get killed. You know, so go to the shelter. And I did the same thing here. Kiki Cat, our cat, is from a shelter.
Yeah.
And now look, I get there's a slight downside. They're like, oh, he's a kitten, and he was for like a day. He was a kitten, and then he became full grown the next day. So obviously, he was a little older than they let on. That's okay. He's a cute cat. It's fine, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely one of the downsides because I don't know if it's all shelters, but I certainly had that experience as well where I was like, I just want to make sure that Charlie doesn't get too big. Like, I want him to they lie. Okay, they're like, no, he's already full grown.
But the people who work in shelters are also the best people on earth.
They are. They just want to make sure they find a home for these dogs.
They always know. Like you said, you got the DNA test on your dog. They don't always know.
That's true.
They're kind of going off of what they best know. They're not, I don't know what their professional is in the realm of, but they work at a shelter, they get dog skin, come from wherever, and they don't have a background on this dog. They tell you the best they know. And Jake, I'm disappointing you. This fake populism about dogs, and get it from a shelter, they're gonna die. I know what you say behind closed doors about dogs. You don't really like dogs, that's why you have a cat. He's trying to take
this. Dogs are so awesome.
Take this and move it along.
This guy, he's trying to give me the title of dog hater. No, you gotta own it, man. You own that title now. He's got the belt.
Get him from a shelter, they're gonna die.
JR, no. Okay, listen to me. If there's one thing I know, it's that
animals are innocent.
They are. Look at the cute doggies behind you.
That's right. So to review, Peter Dinklage is awesome. Go to a pet shelter and wolf-pack.com. Okay, right. That's it. We're out of time. We're going to have a post game for you guys where I agree with Anna's controversial racial observation. And then I didn't get to tell the cute pro story from yesterday. So that's a shout story, but we'll share that too. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member and get all the post games and get the entire show ad free whenever you want. Bye-bye.